Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, I can't say I'm terribly... I don't think that music necessarily reflects what's going on here right now. It's like a Chinese fire drill. It's been one exciting day. I wish Michael would call in and tell us just keep this going until we all pass out, but we're going to probably run out shortly.
Bye.
See, I'm not used to working with these sound bites. Sorry about that. Didn't mean to talk over the theme music. Anyway, it's a madhouse out there. Rory's been holding on a long time from the Central Valley. I know that's long distance, so I'm going to get him in. Before we do all this now, I want to point out, folks, we have all the lines lit up. It looks like we got folks backed up. The call-in lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. I only tell you that because I think it's good to introduce a little frustration into people's lives. And if you haven't heard of busy signal for a while, just pick up one and dial because we are loaded. Rory, welcome to KSCO. What part of the Central Valley? Rory, line one, you're not there anymore?
You have line one, but you don't have Rory.
Well, that's what it says here.
So,
hello.
Do you want me to go ahead?
Well, sure. Who
well,
do I
first,
have?
I'm Kathy in Santa Cruz, and first of all, I'd like to say how proud we are of Rory. And we chose her specifically because she's a young person, and she's acquitting herself beautifully on behalf of the party.
I couldn't agree more.
She's a young person, and we think the young people are the people who really need to hear the message and understand what's going on. And secondly, I'd like to say to all of the voters that we're either going to be pulling hard on this rope to pull out the corruption and the special interest problems that we all 80% of us Californians agree are in Sacramento, or we're going to be hanging from the other end of that rope. And so Republicans are dedicated to working together with independents, Democrats, and Republicans to change this administration. That's what this is all about. And thirdly, I'd like to say that I've been an active Republican for a long time in Santa Cruz, and I did represent the three-area region on the platform committee of the party. I'm voting for Arnold Schwarzenegger because I understand fully well that we start incrementally changing the direction of this state, and I'm committed to doing that, and I'm happy to see that Lori is also. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm going to do that incrementally, and kudos, young lady. You did, the folks that sent you here did pick a good spokesperson for many reasons. But that incrementally thing bothers me because I've been involved in fighting for individual rights for a long time, and I hear about this incremental thing. It reminds me of compromise, and what we want to do is compromise to get where we're going. And the problem with compromise is that you have to accept that you're wrong about something in order to insist that you have it, and to some degree, and I just don't get that one. I understand the argument. I do not concur. But, you know, that's me, one opinion. And I'm not a young Republican, and I'm not a student at UCSC, and I'm not nearly as articulate as this young woman. But thank you for your call, and kudos to her. She's done a great job today. Before we take any more callers, there's one other message that came in that I want to deal with, and that is that somebody called Paul on his statement that Arnold had taken special interest money, and they want to know from who and how much. You want to back that up, Paul?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. I specifically that Arnold is taking big money from corporations. Remember, when Arnold started the campaign, he said, I will finance my own campaign. I don't need anyone else's money. I'll give you the citations. Today's San Jose Mercury News shows that Arnold has raised $13 million more than half of it from other people. So not only is he not funding exclusively his own campaign, he's not even paying half the bill.
Well, but it's
about the corporate money.
Corporate money.
I'm going to address that now.
Okay.
About the corporate money, his staff has repeatedly affirmed that he's taking corporate checks. The list of corporate donors is all available from the Secretary of State, but I can tell you this. There are donors to his campaign, private interests, that are giving more than $20,000 each. And guess how many of them? This person who is above the fray, he says game over. So far, 157 separate entities have given over $20,000 each. That's over $3 million that private interests, predominantly corporate interests, have given to his campaign. This guy who says he's the reformer. Hear that again, because these are big numbers. 157 separate entities have given over $20,000 each to the guy who promised he would fund his own campaign. They are predominantly corporate interests. I can't and don't have the list of the corporations in front of me. It's public record, and it's out there. Now, all you think Arnold is above the fray, just think of that. 157 entities, over 20,000 each. That's real money. He's playing a shell game, and it has to stop.
All right, we're going to go back to the crowd. I don't know. Did you have something that you felt compelled to put in here, Lloyd?
You know, the donations are you know, we have there's a $21,000 cap limit that's over. So you're right, a little bit over $20,000 that anybody, you know, can give. It's limited to that amount. Bustamante has continued to get more in terms of special interest money. Look at his Indian gaming issues that he has. And
doesn't
and
he have
David
to pay all that
continues
back?
To Indian gaming?
Yeah, I think at Bustamante, some judge said he had to give all that money back.
Well, he hasn't talked about it. He hasn't apologized for it.
Oh, no, but he stopped running them those No on 54
but
commercials.
But here's the difference.
Well, wait. Lori wasn't done. Let me let her finish.
And that's basically what the deal is. You know, Arnold continues to get money from his supporters. He continues to get 157. I think in comparison, it's pale in comparison to what Davis and Bustamante has continued to do to court special interests. Arnold is not courting special interests.
Bustamante never took the pledge that he would finance his own campaign. And guess why? Bustamante owns one property, his single family home. He's not an elitist multimillionaire. And do we want to live in a state where only the rich can run? Now,
Arnold came over with no money.
You did not answer my fundamental criticism, which is Arnold promised to not be the captain of the special interest, and he promised to finance his own campaign, and he's paying less than 50 cents on the dollar of his own bills. What's the answer to that? Why is that okay for him to promise us he's going to run his own campaign and then pander to 157 people who gave $21,000? Why is that okay?
Let me feel that for her, because my attitude is that if he came into this thing underestimating the cost and found that he had to move away from his original position, I'm of a mind that it doesn't necessarily make him a liar, but it does matter that he did not give Lori the ammunition she needed when she came in here to answer that.
I don't agree with you, but he needs to own up to it then. He needs to say to the voters, I made a mistake.
Right.
And I ran, and guess what? The well isn't dry. Arnold doesn't only have $6 million. His holdings are in the
I understand that, but you
he just... lied to the people. If he realized he made a mistake, he needs to admit it rather than hide behind it's the Wizard of Oz thing. He won't go out and debate unless the questions are given to him in advance. He's the mythical candidate. He said he wouldn't take anybody else's money. He does. He needs to be accountable and tell us why. If that's the reason, Richard, I would respect it if he's willing to say it out loud.
Absolutely, and that's what I agree with you.
I'm not hearing anything from him.
No, and that's what makes Lori's position so tough. That's what makes Lori's position so tough is that he hasn't given her the ability to respond to that. But
maybe she hasn't a response. Give her a chance.
Well,
what's the answer?
No, she did respond to that, and I think her answer was, he's taking money. But I'm going to tell you something. $20,000 contributions do not buy a governor. $20,000 doesn't obligate anybody to do much more than sit down and have dinner with a guy. I'm not worried about the $20,000 from industry. And by the way, I am not anti-commerce. I am not anti-industry. I think big business is definitely good for America. Otherwise, I couldn't be a good Republican. So I'm not.
No, but that it's the dishonesty. It's the pledging to do one thing and do something else.
Right.
It's not the nature of that. These what I'm not saying this, but he's running now the hypocrisy. He's running these ads saying game over. I will not take special interest money. Game over. And
point.
It's a lie and it's a fraud on the people of this state. And the voters need to hear it and receive the message that this guy is dishonest.
The point's been stated and understood. And those of us in agreement stand there, and those of us who don't. And so we won't have to go back to that issue. It looks to me like I've got Pat on line 7. I don't know which Pat, but come on in. Welcome to KSCO, Pat.
It's this Pat there, Richard.
Hi, what do you got this morning, Pat?
Well, I am real unhappy with everybody, although I must say McClintock will at least take one principled position, at least the last I heard he did. And I find that to be attractive about McClintock, even though I have other big problems with McClintock.
Right.
Now, a majority of California voters, in poll after poll after poll after poll after poll, year in and year out, want to deal with the big stinking problem we have that none of these politicians have the guts to bring up. I can't understand why it is so taboo.
Hurry, Pat, tell us what it is. You got to get to the bottom line because we got callers.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm just trying to...
What's the issue that is not being discussed that you want on the table?
The core problem we're facing is crazy population growth. It's all coming at this point from immigration. And McClintock says at least he would go back and look at 187. I don't know whether he's serious or not, but 187 merely said that we are not going to have taxpayers reward illegals for their illegal behavior.
Well, that's what he said. That's what he said, and I believe that's what he meant. Pat, you can rely on the man for that. Westside Al's on line 2. I want to find out if he's got any sympathy for me in my position here today.
Hey, Richard.
How you doing? Al? This has been a great day at the radio station.
Yes, it's a hot one. Apparently, Pat didn't watch the debate the other night. Arnie did address the immigration issue quite succinctly. So, got to get the facts straight here, and I got a few bones to pick with Paul too. But some of your previous callers have been very irritating. First of all, I'm working on a letter to the city council to get them to pass a resolution to blame President Bush for all the fog over here on the west side. We get way too much. We get way more than our share of fog, and the city needs to do something about it.
Is it on the right side or is it on the left?
It's all Bush's fault. Depends on which, if you're looking at the ocean,
the fog.
It's on the right side. If you're looking at the mountains, it's on the left. Anyway, I'm getting tired of people like your caller, Paula, trying to tie Arnold to the Nazi Party. He wasn't even born until 1948. What his dad did is deplorable, but that's his dad. That's not Arnold. And I think it diminishes the horror of the Holocaust to keep labeling people as Nazis when they're not. It's a stupid thing to do, and I find it insulting.
Absolutely.
I agree, and I said that before, and I totally agree with you.
It's like beating him up because he can't pronounce the name of the state. Who cares?
Yeah, well, you know, he pronounces it better than most. When you look at that, it's really a Hispanic name. At least he puts an accent on it.
Exactly.
And about this remark about Arnold buying expensive suits, let me remind you, the only difference between a drunken sailor and the government is at least the drunken sailor is spending his own money. They spend ours.
Yeah, got it.
Arnold doesn't go out and get a taxpayer subsidy to buy his suits.
Al, you promised you were going to take me on, so
do it. Right. You said you accused Arnold of having raped women in the past. Where do you get that information, and why have I not heard it anywhere else?
Well, I don't think we can go into details in this program, and I didn't say specifically raped
women.
Yes,
you did.
Oh, yes, you did.
I used the term rape, and I didn't say more than one woman. But if you read the, it's a family show, but if you read the We Magazine interview and read his own description of his personal activities, then I think you'll come to the similar conclusion.
Well, group sex is not rape, Paul.
But
consensual
I can't engage in whether it was consensual, the number of people involved, and all the rest.
Well, don't throw that word around. It's just as bad as calling somebody a Nazi. Don't you understand that? You're a lawyer. You know what the meaning of words is, don't you?
For sure. And
all right.
My characterization of what happened is consistent with the word I used.
Well, we can move on from that because you're indefensible on that one. You said Arnold didn't approve of gay marriages, but during the debate he said he approved of gay civil unions with all the attached legal rights that married people have, so you probably better be a little bit more straight on that too. No
pun
intended.
Well, is a civil union the same as a marriage? And
according to what Arnold would like to do, he would set up the legal mechanisms that would avail gay couples of all the rights of married people. They just wouldn't call them.
No, I agree with that. My point was the reverse, that he's out of step with his own party. His party is specifically and directly against those rights and that's in the mainstream. So you're making my point for me. What I was saying was the reverse, Al, was simply that Arnold's position on gay rights and abortion is directly contrary to the positions of the Republican Party.
But it's right in step with almost everybody in California.
Yeah, so I'm okay with that. I agree with him on gay rights.
Okay, good.
But I'm saying, but the logical candidate of the party is McClintock, who's in line with the party's platform and the party's history on gay rights and other social issues.
Well, I got one more bone to pick with you, Paul, and then I got a closing question for all of you.
Well, hurry, because we got all these lines.
Okay, Paul, you said that Arnold wouldn't debate unless he had the questions in advance. In fact, his campaign contacted the people that were putting on the debate and said they didn't like that format, but the people that held the debate insisted on sticking to it.
They did that after they knew that they weren't going to change the format.
Your timeline's wrong on that. Here's my last question. How in the hell is McClintock going to be able to work and forge alliances with Democrats when he can't even do it with his own party?
I don't think he can. I think McClintock would be a failure as a governor.
I'm not a McClintock failure
whatsoever. I think he would have zero chance getting anything done with the Democratic legislature. Our host has a different idea, but he's the host and may or may not want to inject his personal.
No, Al and I will talk about that on Thursday of February. That's my show. Thanks for the call, Al.
Thanks, Rich. Bye.
You bet. Okay, and we got Billy in Capitola. I'm not sure who Billy is. Billy, welcome to KSCO.
Hi, guys. You know what? One thing that's really interesting about this whole thing is that it's okay now to kill babies, clearly. You know, the Republicans used to stand for something. They were so against abortion, which, you know, is murder in their opinion. So when they're willing to commit murder or let murder be okay just to get their man elected, I guess Ann Coulter's next book, when she writes about Republicans, she's going to call it Hypocrites.
Understood. Thank you very much for your call, Billy.
You know, he's making an okay point, though, that by the party leadership endorsing a candidate whose views are directly contrary to the Republican majority is a sellout.
No way. The Democrats continue to make the abortion issue a big issue for Republicans, and I think it's simply not the case. It is not a litmus test. It doesn't continue to be a litmus test for any Republicans in the party. And, you know, I appreciate this phone call, but you know, he's wrong about whether it makes a Republican or doesn't.
But you have to agree that it is the Republican Party generally comes out pro-life. That is that's the general plank of the national
it's
platform.
It's an issue, but it's not the main issue.
Got it. On line five,
I agree with that.
I'm always scared about bringing in Cheryl in the middle of the show. I got to figure out how to conduct. But Cheryl, welcome to KSCO.
Thank you, Richard.
You want to talk to Larry, don't you?
Well, no. What I want to tell everybody, and I don't know how do you not see that this Democratic apparatchik over there is doing exactly the same thing that the Davis campaign was doing to the Republican primary, attacking Dick Reardon. It is absolutely incredible. He's coming. He managed to turn that show.
Zero?
Yeah, you turn that show into a bash Schwarzenegger show, not the discussion of different issues. And
I'm not calling
Schwarzenegger a liar because he started taking $20,000 donations and also admitting that you're considering voting for Bustamante, that who was on the take from the Indian gaming. It's just absolutely ludicrous.
But I
understand that people might be able to see that through.
First of all, you throw around this flamboyant word apparatchik. I think you and I both know what it means.
I'm only following
Cheryl,
your
can I
methods.
Finish? Can I finish? All right. You're calling me an apparatchik. I am not representing the Democratic Party in any way. I haven't talked with anyone in the Democratic Party. I'm representing myself. In fact, I'm giving all kinds of statements that are entirely inconsistent with the party. I'm frustrated with the governor. You call me an apparatchik, and you've got it wrong. Secondly, you've got wrong the characterization of the discussion of special interest money. It's not an issue, and Richard hit this right. It's not an issue about whether it's okay to take the money. The issue is Arnold promised he would not, and he did. What's your answer to Arnold lying?
He is not lying.
Oh, he said he wouldn't do it, and now he did. How is that not a lie?
Why is that lying?
Oh, he said he wouldn't do it, and then
Wait a minute. If you are going to be picky that way, then tell my kid not to go outside, and he doesn't say you're picky, Dad. Then quote me exactly what he said.
You're being silly, sir.
No, quote me exactly what he said. Then I will tell you if he was lying or not. Do you have the exact quote of what he said?
I listened to it. Yeah, he said, I don't need to take anyone else's money. I have enough money. You're interrupting me. I'm done with you, Cyril.
Yeah, we can't. Cyril, I don't know why you're doing this, but we'll have to bring you in another time.
Right, okay, Bridget.
Line one is Barbara from Pebble Beach. Good morning, Barbara. You really want to step into this?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Okay, come on in.
Well, I was hoping that there'd be a little more opportunity for me to make up my mind because the election's so close about who I might be able to vote for. I don't like always having to vote for the lesser of two or, in this case, more evils. I understand that McClintock is a principled person and he's a solid right-wing Republican, but I'm not, and I can't vote for somebody who's opposed to gun control and who's opposed to being pro-choice.
Okay.
I can't vote for him. I have a lot of reservations about Schwarzenegger. His positions, in many cases, are okay with me. His positions are more like a Democrat than a Republican. I think that's pretty clear. On the other hand, he has no real experience with government. He has no real background in economic issues or handling a big budget. He'd be relying on other people for help, and that might be okay, but I don't know that he won't get carried away with the power once he has it, if he does.
If somebody here could answer one question for you today, what would that question be?
All right, this is the question. How can I vote for Bustamante? You guys are not talking about him at all. He's a nice man. He's done well to go so far in life with coming from not having an awful lot to begin with. But what's the evidence that he has any real leadership ability? What's the evidence that he can hold his own in a controversy? He didn't do very well in the debate. What's the evidence that he has good judgment?
I'll be happy to speak to that.
Okay, I'd like to vote for somebody with some enthusiasm instead of having to say, well, they're all terrible, but I can't go on with Davis, so I'll just toss a coin.
Understood, Barbara.
Well, having by the previous caller been accused of being a Democratic apparatchik, I want to again remind you that I have not endorsed anyone, and frankly, and this may astound Lori, I have not ruled out voting for Mr. Schwarzenegger. I'm keeping an open mind because in some ways I see that he does bring something appealing to the table. So I'm not a Bustamante supporter, although I may very well vote for him as well, but here's the defense of Bustamante. Self-made man, yes. Humble roots, yes. Leadership abilities, he was elected to the legislature, and then his colleagues elected him Speaker of the General Assembly. Then the voters of the state of California elected him Lieutenant Governor. The other reason on the issues is this. Bustamante does not have the baggage of Davis because he has not been a self-serving politician who spent more time raising money than he spent minding the store. Bustamante does not have that history, but his values, his positions on the issues are the most closely aligned with the California voters, and I think that is without dispute. California is, like it or not, a Democratic state, the Orange Curtain notwithstanding, and Bustamante's policies and positions are most in line with those of the voters. So I think those are some of the reasons you would support him. He's the candidate of labor, he's the candidate of teachers, and he's a person who's self-made, who became Speaker of the Assembly, not because anyone put him up for it. So I think his values, principles, and positions are consistent with those of the people, and there are a lot of reasons to consider voting for him, and I very well may. I probably will. I'll concede that, but I have not made up my mind on either the first or the second question.
How's that, Barbara?
I think that helps.
Barbara.
Okay.
Barbara. Don't do it. Bustamante is you're voting for a Davis that is far worse. He's like a Cheshire cat. He says something and then like Paul hates does something else. When he has as a lieutenant governor, he has kind of the easiest job, one of the easiest jobs in California. And one of the biggest things is you have to attend the UC Board of Regents meetings. He doesn't go to those. Davis right now, knowing that he could be supporting Bustamante like he has now decided that he's going to be turning against him. His own pollster, Davis's pollster, said that he's a crippled candidate, that he can't win the election, that he has, that he can't do a good job. His own, you know, governor is turning against him.
But I mean, I think that's a plus for him, because if Davis is against him, that says something that makes me more favorable toward him.
Well, possibly. I mean, unfortunately, he's out of line with mainstream California. Californians don't want to raise new taxes. They don't want to have their car tax being increased more than it already is.
Bustamante doesn't support a further increase in the car tax, so we should be careful to not mischaracterize the positions that people are taking.
In fact, I my recollection from the other night is that he too talked about that was a bad tax and needs to go away. I may have misunderstood
that.
Well,
originally he said that he was in favor of Davis's tripling of car tax.
I understand.
And new taxes.
Well, he definitely is in favor of new taxes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you want to increase spending more, and if you want to run the economy far, far deeper, then Bustamante is a great choice.
Okay, Barbara, thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
All right, we've got the lines, like I say, running over everywhere. Gary from Live Oak, you there, Gary? Welcome to KSCO.
Yeah, great. I think a lot of people need to know some of the folks that are behind Arnold, and this is probably never get it over Ciro's show. There's a guy, George Gorton, who's a veteran, a Wilson campaigner, and this Wilson-Gorton team has put together, they ran the campaigns for the ex-communist Yeltsin and the guy from Romania. In fact, there's a Hollywood movie coming out called Spinning Boris. These guys can turn a communist thug into a winning type team. Now, Arnold, he's pro-gun, he's for homosexual marriages, he won't take the anti-pledge tax. He says he's appointing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be the leading environmentalist. He's one of the leading environmentalist attorneys. He was one of the guys down in Puerto Rico trying to shut down the Navy base, and that's who he's going to put in charge of the environmental situation, and we're being overrun with Agenda 21 here locally. Mariah Shriver on the NBC TV show, during the Academy Awards interview, she said he's not as conservative as you'd think. And then we've got Dreyer, who recently was appointed by the Council on Foreign Relations as co-chair for the bipartisan task force. He's a CFR member, and he's a chief spokesman for Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, Gary, that's as far as we can go with that one. I'm going to let Laurie deal with that as best you can. That was a whole litany of stuff. Can you?
Well,
just...
saying that there's not, you know, he's not a good Republican. He's not this. He's not that. Well, just a few days ago, we had the GOP county chairman meet up in Sacramento. They voted 40 overall. 40 of 59 chairmen voted to endorse Schwarzenegger. There's lots of good Republicans that are on his team. Schultz is a perfect example. One of his chief economic advisors. You know, when you're voting for Schwarzenegger, you're going to be voting for a moderate Republican. Yes, strong on economy, moderate on social issues. He is a Republican. He's electable. He's gonna change the mess that's right now in California, and we're not gonna be able to change it otherwise.
Got it. Okay. Well, what we're gonna do is we're gonna take a break right now. A couple of commercials, see if we can pay for some of this airtime. We've got plenty of callers out there, but the lines are 479-1080, 477-1340. Give us a call. We'll try to get you on the air as best we can. So here's a commercial message.
This is your favorite radio station, KSCO, Santa Cruz, California, 1080 on your dial.
Firing up for the last 20 minutes. What an incredible show. This is what you described early on, Paul, as the good news of this recall, is that it's got so many people involved and forming opinions and stuff about the election.
Of a comment I made earlier.
Sure.
In deference and basically in agreement with West Side Al, who's a caller that I've heard a few times and respect, I think I did misspeak when I used the word rape, only because it's such an in any connection with Mr. Schwarzenegger, and I want to retract that. Well, it's a shorthand word, and I don't want to get into whether his conduct technically might constitute that particular offense. What I meant to say was that what I've read about the description of his conduct was brutalizing and objectifying a woman. It might, may or may not rise to that offense, but I don't want us to get sidetracked, have this whole big thing about some apparatchik called Arnold a rapist. So I want to apologize to Al and to the listeners that that wasn't the best chosen word. I think his conduct, if what he said happened is true, is reprehensible and arguably criminal. But I want to apologize to the listeners because, you know, you're on the radio and it's a quick talk thing and you're not sitting around the water cooler. And I wish I hadn't used that particular four-letter word.
Right. I'm sure it's okay with the people. They all accept your apology. I certainly don't have a problem with that. Okay, Paul in Capitola. What's up, Paul? Hello?
Hello. Hi, this isn't Paul. This is Martha.
Well, hi, Martha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just reading this board, so things are a little confusing for me. Go ahead, Martha.
Yes, I am. You know, I can't believe anybody would consider voting for Cruz Bustamante or Cruz Bustamante taxes or Cruz Bustamecha. I mean, the guy has yet to denounce what Mecha is all about. He's clearly still a racial identity kind of a politician. He tried to save Nativo Lopez from Hermandad, which is all about, you know, the Mecha philosophy down in Santa Ana, a community with 77% of the population is Latino, and he went against all of those parents. He actually went down there himself, personally, our lieutenant governor, to campaign for this guy, Nativo Lopez, who was being, you know, investigated for $200,000 of misappropriated, unallocated funds for education, public school, forcing bilingual education on all these kids that the Hispanic parents and Latino parents didn't want. That's him. And he's also the one whose brother is, you know, he manages one of the casinos, the Indian gaming casinos. And you know, the concessions that Governor Davis has said he would appoint he would allow for the Indian gaming, you know, lobbyists to appoint two more officials to the commission. Listen, my vote is not going to be thrown out. I'm a conservative. However, I am going to vote for the person who I know is going to put a veto on this kind of run amok legislation where we're giving away the store, where we're destroying our business environment, where we are chasing businesses out of the state. And that isn't going to be Tom McClintock.
Okay. I'm going to assume that she's talking about Arnold. And that's, you know, there you go. Okay.
Well, listen, for years, we have managed to get by with a predominantly leftist, you know, legislature only because we had someone of some moderation, some common sense at the gate, a Republican, saying, no, we don't have that. And as long as we don't have that, we are, you know, we're going to continue on this downward spiral. And if you think Davis was bad, and he was, I mean, when Costco, 75% of their workers' compensation that they pay, it goes to California. That's why, you know, Costco may leave the state. I mean, we're losing jobs. We can't lose them fast enough. If Bustamante is elected, you may as well, somebody who's in construction for roads, you know, will make a fortune, you know, putting roads that go directly out to Nevada, you know, to Arizona, because that's what's going to happen in this state of California.
You're obviously never going to get to a period, so I'm going to have to let you go there. But thank you very much for your input. The Cruz Bustamante thing. You're not here in defense of Mr. Bustamante, Paul, so I can't really grab everything that she threw at him. But is there anything that you wanted to comment on in that?
No, there are a lot of people waiting, and I think Cruz Bustamante is a good, solid leader, a good, solid Democrat, and a more than decent human being. And I think, you know, all this heat he's taking about fundraising is because he's not rich. It's really easy when you're Arnold and you're printing money to finance your own campaign. It's not just about Mr. Schwarzenegger. It's across the board. We've got and I'm pleased that Lori is working on a thesis about campaign finance issues and reform. And I think that's a big part of the fundamental problem is the rich people can pay for their own campaign, and when the poor people try to raise money, they're described as captives of the special interest. But I'd rather hear from more callers.
Okay, let's go out there to Jeff and Carmel. Jeff, welcome to KSCO. Did I get it right this time? Is it actually Jeff?
Yeah.
Good.
You know what? Something really crystallized for me watching that debate. is Cruz Bustamante said that there was, they spent too much money in Sacramento.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then their solution is spending more. Now, you know, there's something goofy about the mathematics there, you know.
Well, Laurie, would you like to comment on that?
I agree. Well, I was stunned. This is the first time that he's ever admitted that, you know, they spent too much. In an early budget proposal, he said that they didn't want any new taxes to affect the state's budget crisis. He said that in a proposal that went in with Davis. And, you know, again and again, you know, the solutions are not there. You know, they all recognize the problems, obviously, but Bustamante is not coming up with any positive solutions to cut spending.
All right, got it. Vernon, online. Is that you, Vernon?
You betcha. I'm going to be the cynic for this morning.
Okay, throw something in. Throw something
hey,
in.
Hey, there are no panaceas to the problems that are created by government, you quid, you know? And it really doesn't matter in the long run who gets in. To that end, I have a question for both of your guests. Can either of them tell me the origins or the breakdowns of the components of the so-called $38 billion budget deficit?
I can address a lot of it. You know, in other words, how did we get into this mess in terms of the budget?
Now, tell me what comprises a $38 billion budget deficit.
Is this one of those questions you know the answer to or think you know the answer to, Vernon? Is it a trap?
Well, not just me. Jeffrey Sharpe's done it in the newspaper.
I can discuss some of the contributing factors, but if you have the data and all these people waiting, why don't you just share
it? Well, I'll tell you the very
simple. We know that a lot of it has to do with the downturn in the sales tax resulting from the fall in the local and national economy. We know a lot of it has to do with substantial increases in state spending, in great part due to the energy gouging. We know that those are a couple of the fundamental issues. We know that spending has increased faster than revenue came in, but that's a chicken and egg thing. Those are some of the issues, but if you've got data and we've got 12
no,
minutes, why don't you share?
I actually do have data, and that therein is a major problem, okay? You've done nothing for me but the mantra. If you'd really looked into it, first of all, the revenues coming in this year, if you look in the governor's budget page, are more than last year, number one.
No one said they weren't.
Number two.
Wait a minute. You just said that I'm incorrect. I never said that. I don't disagree with that.
The fact that
revenues go up does not have anything to do with whether a deficit occurs. Revenues go up because the population is exploding profoundly.
So I'm going to, since you're obviously, I can give it to you in a nutshell, since you obviously don't know.
Please.
Is what, last year they overspent the budget by $12 billion. They're trying to finesse into this year's budget. So they indebted us last year by $12 billion. This year they passed a budget. And they told us, well, it was all stunk. But what they didn't really say is the budget they passed this year, they're already going to overspend by, conservatively, $8 billion this year. That's money that's not spent, though.
So that's pro the recall.
That's money that's not spent, so that's wish list spending. And they wanted to increase spending this year about $20 billion over what they did last year.
What's the point here?
Huh?
What's your point you're trying to make?
My point is, the point's very simple, is until you can get people to understand that these are crises that don't exist other than in wish list spending, and until you can get the people at large to participate in their government rather than just call on talk shows, which I've hosted, and then go back to the couch and watch football and drink beer and feel that they've made a difference, we will have a government that looks like it does today, because no one... I hear news people talk about budget deficits. I have a $38 billion budget deficit. I just can't turn it into a debt.
Brennan, thank you very much for the call.
I
didn't mean to cut him off. Well, maybe I did. Subconscious
mm-hmm.
things. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Rory, welcome to KSGO. What have you got?
Yeah, I would like to say that one of the reasons I like Tom McClintock is he doesn't need to hire a financial advisor like Arnold does. And as far as I'm concerned, Arnold is a complete figurehead, Johnny come lately, with no qualifications to be governor. He might be a businessman. I find his past treatment of women abhorrent, if that article in We is true. I did watch when I was younger Pumping Iron, and I saw his behavior there, so it wouldn't surprise me. And I believe that he has objectified women in the past. And,
well,
I think that's troublesome, and I don't think he has the moral grounding that it takes to be a leader.
Rory, if we back up in our lives, because I've been on the planet for a lot of years myself, I go back in my life, and there's some segments in there I'm not real sure that I'd want put on a movie screen. And I don't know about you. Isn't that?
We all do, probably, huh?
Yeah, and I'm thinking, if the man had some indiscretions along the way, does that necessarily disqualify him?
Well,
what's your sense on that, Larry?
I'm sure Paul voted for Clinton. I don't know what he has to say about that. But
let me comment real quickly on that.
I vote for Nader.
Well, there you go.
I would say
I was making an assumption.
I would say it doesn't necessarily disqualify a person, their past behavior, but let's see a track record in lower office before you just ascend to the governorship. I think Schwarzenegger is jumping ahead too fast, and I don't think he's going to be able to handle the pressures. And because Tom is more qualified, I have to vote for Tom McClintock.
Well,
and if everybody that knows in their hearts that Tom's more qualified and will just take the courage and get some guts and vote for the guy, he'll launch over the top. He'll blow past Schwarzenegger.
There you go.
And Schwarzenegger can run for city council or county supervisor and start there and work his way up and prove himself. I don't trust him. And I don't think a guy that needs to go out and hire people like Warren Buffett and other people to tell him what to think has got the goods to run the state.
Thank you for the input, Rory. And I want, Paul, I want you to answer that. Would you go ahead and deal with that? And then I'm going to let Laurie cap it because she is the president of the College Republicans up there at UCSC. Paul, by the way, this is Paul Sanford. It's been a long time since I've introduced my guest. But, Paul, would you go ahead and respond to that?
Yeah, well, I just want to say that many of us have indiscretions in our past. And it's not about being a good citizen doesn't mean you have never made a mistake. But I'm going to go crazy here and throw out, Richard, that I believe it may be that neither you nor I is qualified to be governor of California, and maybe neither you nor I is qualified to be president of the United States. The fact that a lot of people have done things that they really regret and perhaps have character flaws that they are working on doesn't mean that we should expect the minimal from our leaders. We should not elect to statewide office people who acknowledge and then at least don't repent about doing things that are shockingly immoral and wrong. And so the fact that, yes, you and I'll acknowledge myself as well, there are things in my past that I might not want to discuss with the electorate, doesn't mean that we can't and shouldn't demand more from the person who's going to be the captain of the ship and run the state. So the fact that we have that we can empathize and we might have done some things that we don't want to be on the news or on TV doesn't mean that we couldn't and shouldn't demand more from our elected leaders.
Well, I'd like to, you know,
I'm sorry.
I hope that when we talk about extreme, you know, things that have gone on in our past, that Bustamante will at some point, you know, finally acknowledge the fact that his involvement in Metro was extreme and probably not a good thing for him to be bringing into his governorship. The other thing is, you know, there have been plenty of people throughout the state, throughout the, you know, when you're elected, that you don't have to necessarily come in with a career politician that they'll solve all your problems. You know, there have been plenty of businessmen that have come in with common sense, accountability, good business practices that have been able to come in and treat the state like it really is, like a business. And I think
wait. Treat the state like it is, like a business?
You want
the affairs of
like
government to be conducted solely based on the bottom line and greed. And don't get me wrong,
greed is good.
Michael Douglas said it. That's the creed of business, is making money. Please tell me and please back off from the statement that the state is a business. The fundamental responsibilities of government have nothing to do with the bottom line. They've got to do with promoting the public welfare and protecting the folks who can't protect themselves. And I can't believe, and I don't believe, that you really mean that you can't see the distinction between government and business.
There's a lot more things that go into having a successful state government, but a huge portion of it, and the main issue that we continue to talk about, is the budget and the economy, and that a good businessman will be able to come in there and handle those situations in a way that reflects well on Californians.
Well, my opinion is not on here so much today as the reason for the show, but I will throw in that I believe that, that's funny, I believe that it is a business, as a matter of fact. I think it's a service business if you analyze it. And I don't see any reason to discount government as a service business. And I don't know that running it like a service business wouldn't be a good idea. certainly if they had a complaint department that actually worked. Is that pronounced Lina or
Lena?
Lena?
I'll turn the radio. Well, the reason what I called was regarding the illegal immigration. When I came from my country, they checked me out 100 times. They had me go through a medical test, and I thought, what a wonderful country, you know. No criminals are going to be there, no people that bring diseases. Now, Bustamante is for the illegal immigration.
Well, I don't know do you think he's necessarily for illegal immigration?
Well, we are not going to go after the illegal people, for sure. Which I don't know if they're doing now or not.
Well, I'm curious.
No one's supporting going after the illegals. The economy depends on the illegals. I'm not.
Well, why don't they legalize them?
There's no one running in this campaign that's suggesting that we go after and target resources to uproot the folks who are here undocumented. Even McClintock does not take that position, that we use our resources to kick these people out.
Yeah, but are we going to do anything to stop a little bit the illegality? Because what's happening, other people are coming in through Mexico that are not just necessarily Mexican people. You know, there's a lot of people that smart out, and as we say more and more, we have a lot of other countries that we don't desire are coming in that we don't know if we're getting terrorists there.
Well,
anyway, that's another topic.
Yes, what we're talking about today, basically what we've got is a representative from the left and from the right as far as candidates go, and given your position, which is the two candidates did you find more favorable toward that position in the debate the other night?
Mr. McClintock is governmental, and that's the one I'm going to vote for.
Very good.
Definitely, he knows the issues, and he has the background. Schwarzenegger, as much as I know that they say that a vote for Mr. McClintock will be against, you know, will be for Bustamante, but why would you vote for somebody that doesn't have qualification? The man can't even explain the issues, doesn't want to debate, doesn't want to show himself, because we would know that it would be exposed that he has no knowledge.
And
period.
By the way, he doesn't vote either. He's missed 5 of the last 11 statewide elections. That we're going to elect a governor, someone who doesn't even vote. What message are we sending to the children and the people who give a damn about democracy and our state if we elect someone who doesn't even vote?
Thank you very much for your call.
Do you have an answer to that?
Are you asking me?
I mean, it's been well documented that Arnold does not vote in anything close to a routine fashion. What type of message do you think that sends, and do you think that that's a problem with his candidacy?
I think he's voted in the last major elections, like it's been documented. You're right, in the past he hasn't voted as regularly as one would have hoped, but, you know, there again, you're nitpicking and...
Nitpicking? Voting is nitpicking?
Well, you're, you know, Davis you know, Schwarzenegger continues to be the frontline candidate. I will stress it again and again. He's the one man that can move in, and I think the fact that, you know, he's voted in the past, most recently he's voted regularly, is a good thing.
We're running out of time. I'm going to take a couple more calls, and then it's going to be the end of the day. Looks like Santa Cruz, Mike.
Hey, Richard, how's it going?
Well, it's
long time no see.
It's like an explosion in a spaghetti factory for me, but
hey, great show.
I've about survived it. What's your point today? What do we got?
Well, I got a couple of them. I'm voting for the person that's going to beat Bustamante. And second of all, the government isn't in a business. It's in the business of extracting the most dollars it can out of each individual in this state, up to the point where we'll break or leave or they won't exist. That's the business the government's in, and we need somebody that says, we're not going to do this anymore. We need a government and someone with the balls to say, look, we have laws and regulations. Everybody's going to follow them. No more illegal immigrants. We're going to put them on a boat and send them back.
Understood. So that means that you support Laurie's position today.
Absolutely.
Okay, super. Thank you very much, Mike, for calling
in.
It's
going to be a hell of a boat. And where are they going?
And now we got Wild Goose Gene. I don't know who that is. It sounds like trouble to me, but what the heck? We're almost done. Gene, talk to me.
Hi there, Richard. I'm calling today. I must tell you guys, first of all, that this is one of the finest shows I've ever heard hosted here on KSCO. And,
well, I got to thank my guests, and you got to hurry so I can do that properly.
What I'm saying is, at the issue at hand today, I don't understand why people keep trying to bring up what people did in the past. What a man does with a woman is his own thing, and the man has come out and he has he's said what he's done. Leave that alone. I'm in for fresh ideas. The guys that are in there, they're already politicians. I'm in for somebody who is going to come in there and with fresh ideas. He's not a politician yet, but give him a chance. Maybe he'll turn out to be a good one. Who knows?
Super, Gene. Thank you very much.
Yeah, tell that guy to read some good magazines. Stop taking quotes out of We.
Happily, they haven't published in years. Thank God for that.
Okay, well, we got less than a half a minute left. I want to make sure I thank you guys. If this is the best show that he's ever heard on this station, it is simply because of the folks that are here. Paul Sanford, I never met you before, but you sir are a fine gentleman, attorney of law professor and democratic activist. And Laurie Hoff, if you are the kind of student that they're turning out of UCSC, I might change my mind about how I treat those
folks.
There's hope. Yes, Laurie Hoff, she is president of the College Republicans at UCSC. Thank you both very much on behalf of myself. And on behalf of KSCO, you have definitely added to the mix in a substantial way today. And thank you, Michael, for bringing me in to do this.
Yeah, that's all, folks.